Blog Talk Radio.
Want to say good afternoon, everyone, and it's a pleasure to have you here with us and to be here sharing the Word of God with you today. We are so thankful that the Lord has spared our lives so that we can see another Friday and we can have another Friday evening Bible study. And so I just want to say welcome to one and all, and may God bless you. And for those who are joining us online who might not have the number to call live, let me just repeat the number for you. It is 347-989-1716. Again, that's 347-989-1716. And you can join us here next Friday and every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. All right? Today we're looking at the topic, Jesus prayed for us. Jesus prayed for us. And I think that's a good one. And I am your host today, Donald Rettimeyer. And my co-host, I believe, is with us this afternoon, and that is Sister Jackie Grace. Jackie, are you there with us?
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. How is everybody doing this afternoon?
Oh, good afternoon. We are doing fine, and it's good to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm blessed to be here.
I know I have to get in touch with you later on, but we'll talk after the show.
Okay.
So how have you been?
Yeah, I'm doing good. We've been a little busy around here because the kids, they're getting out on Tuesday. And today is like our high school graduation, and both Whitney and Xavi, they are performing in the school band. So, you know, everybody been a little busy around here. But it's all
okay.
Good. I'm thankful that I'm able to be here. God be praised.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad that you're here too. Praise the Lord. It's good to hear from you. Well, we're going to be looking at a topic today, Jesus prayed for us. And that text is taken from the text. If you want to turn to that text, it's John 17. And it's going from 1 through 11. John chapter 17, 1 through 11. And the question that we'll be discussing this afternoon, Jackie, is what does a dying man pray for? What does a dying man pray for? So I just wanted to keep that in mind as we go into our lesson study. But before we do that, before we do our study this afternoon, I want to play a song for us. And then after that, Jackie, could you pray for us? And then we will go. Okay. And then we will go into our Bible study. So we're going to play Coming Again, Jesus is Coming Again.
Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again. He is coming, O Lord and Master, our Redeemer and King. In the glory of God the Father, on the earth he shall reign. Alleluia, alleluia, he is coming again, and with joy we shall gather round him at his coming to reign. He shall gather his chosen people who are called by his name, and the ransomed of every nation on the earth he shall reign. Hallelujah, hallelujah, he is coming again, and with joy we shall gather round him at his coming to reign. Hallelujah, hallelujah, he's coming again, and with joy we shall gather round him at his coming to
Israel singing, Jesus is coming again. And we know that he will come, and we know that it's very soon because of all the things that we're seeing happening in the world today. We do not know what day or hour that he is coming, but we do know that he is coming and that he will come soon. So all what we're doing here and all the things that, you know, the exercise that you go through in prayer and Bible study and all of that is for one purpose, and that purpose is to prepare us for the second coming of Christ. Amen? So I just want you to be in, pay rapt attention, if I may use that word, to what we're going to discuss today, because we're talking about the prayer of Jesus just before he died, just before he went to the cross. He knew that the cross laid before him, and he was heading there, and he prayed, and a very significant prayer. And we want to look at that prayer as we discuss the topic, what does a dying man pray for? Jackie, could you pray for us, and then we'll begin our study this afternoon.
Father in heaven, once more we come before you, Lord, to thank you for this wonderful privilege that we can gather together, Lord, to be encouraged by your word, Lord, because it's so much needed, Lord. We are in the dress-up period, and we need to be strengthened, Lord. We need strength from each other, and above all, we need your strength. So help us this day that we will have an ears to hear and a heart to hide your words, Lord, that we will not sin against you. Father God, we thank you for each person that will be listening here. We thank you, Lord, for the messenger, Lord, and we ask you to
Amen.
Bless him, Lord, that this message will reach out and
frequency in our heart that we will come to have a closer relationship with you. Father God, again, we thank you, and we ask you to just be with us, Lord, and that more people will come to join the Bible study, because how important it is to study your word, Lord, and to know more about you, Lord. Lord God Almighty, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask you to be with us all throughout this Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Last week, Jackie, you weren't here, but we did a special study on, you know, in tribute to Mother's Day. And what I will do next week is probably replay that particular message, because I think it was important and I think it was significant. And since you weren't here and some others weren't here, I might just replay that next week just for us. All right? So that is what we might be doing next week. But for today, we're looking at the topic, Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for us way back then. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to look with me at the 17th chapter of the book of John. And we are just going to read from verse 1 through verse 11. John chapter 17, 1 through 11. And I'm reading from the NIV. So if you have a King James, it might sound a little different, but you can still follow along. All right. It says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You give them to me, and they have obeyed your words. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I give them the word you give me, and they accepted it. They know with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you give me, so that they may be one, even as we are one. And I'll stop right there. These are some powerful words, and I just pray that the power with which this prayer was prayed by the Lord will be felt by all who are listening today. Jesus was about to go to the cross, and he knew that his time was coming to an end. And It says there that he had said some things earlier in chapter 16. And now in chapter 17, it says, and Jesus said this. And after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. And the question that I asked earlier was, what does a dying man pray for? If you knew that you are going to die shortly, you only have a little time on, you know, in this world before you're going to pass away, what would you be praying for? Have you ever thought about that? I know for me, if I know that death is imminent and I'm going to be passing away very soon, I would be praying that all is well with my soul. I'll be praying that I'll make it in that resurrection, you know, that it is well. But here we have Jesus about to face death, knowing that it was coming, knowing that this is what he came into the world for. And as he thought about this, the Bible says he looked towards heaven and he prayed. Sometimes we do not pay much attention to this prayer, but I'm just going to spend a little time here today, and hopefully it will help us to learn the significance of what Jesus thought of us and how much he thought of us, even on to the end before he died. And there were some specific things that he said in the prayers, that he said in this prayer, that should encourage us as believers and should help us to know that we are precious in his sight. We're going to look at some of the words that Jesus used as he spoke to the Father about those whom he were praying for. And as we look at them, we want to know that we were included in this. All right? Today I started a volunteer work at the Paulin County Hospital, Bell Star Hospital, and I'm volunteering there as a chaplain. And today was my first day, and we were called into the pediatrics emergency room. The chaplain was called, and since I was there volunteering, this is my first day, I was shadowing her. So I went with her, and she was called to the emergency room, the pediatrics emergency room of the hospital. And when we got there, what had happened, a young lady was brought in, and she had stopped breathing. She wasn't breathing. And her father came with her, and her grandmother, the father's mother, was there. And it was something that I was not prepared for on my first day there, you know, to be called in there to the pediatrics, a young lady, and she was not breathing. So the doctors and the nurses and everyone that were in the emergency room there were trying to revive her, and they did whatever they could to try to get her to start breathing again. And as they were doing that, the chaplain was speaking to the father and the grandmother for a little. I stood there silent. I had no words. I didn't know what to say. And the only thing I could think of was to pray. And I started to pray. So the doctors and the nurses were working on the young lady that had stopped breathing. You know, the chaplain was trying to comfort the father and the mother as best as she could. The father and the grandmother, as best as she could, and I was there just praying. And after a while, I just left too, because it was just a little bit much. But as much as they tried to revive her, the doctors and the nurses, she did not come around. She did not come around. So that was very hard situation, at least for me to face, because it is so hard to see a young lady, someone that was just 14 years of old, and, you know, maybe she did not know that she was going to pass away that day. Maybe she, today, gotten up this morning, because I was somewhere like around 11 a.m. or 10:30, 11 when they brought her into the emergency room. And she was not breathing. I don't know what happened, but she probably did not know that death would have come to her this morning. And so after a while, the nurses and the doctors realized that there was nothing that they can do, and so she was gone, just like that. But here Jesus was, knowing that he was going to go to the cross and he was going to be crucified, and of all the things that he could have prayed for, and all the things that he could have asked the Father to do to those who were going to be so mean and cruel to him. In this prayer, we did not see any of that. All we saw was him thinking about his disciples that he was going to leave behind. That was what was foremost on his mind. These men and women that were going to represent him after he left. So he said that in verse 4, he said, "I have brought you glory." That's what he said to the Father on earth, "by completing the work you gave me to do." So one thing we can realize here from this prayer is that Jesus realized that he had finished his work. He came for a purpose, and he had finished that work. And not only did he finish the work, but he said in completing the work, he said he had brought glory to the Father. And so he was saying, "Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory which I had with you before the world began." So here we learn another thing about Jesus, and that is that Jesus existed before the world began. He said he had glory with the Father before the world began. So we see here in this prayer also, Jesus was talking a little bit about his divinity here, and the fact that he was with God even before the world began. And now he was going back to be with God, and he was asking the Father to glorify him with that glory that he had. Because while he came on earth, while he was on earth for 33 and a half years, he lived and worked among them. He had to give up that glory. He gave up that divinity. And he walked as a humble, simple human being. Isn't that something? Someone who was there from the very beginning, even before the world began, you know, someone who was there from eternity, came into the world, put on humanity, lived among us, and now was about to die and leave the world, go back to the Father. And so he was praying for his disciples. Verse 6 says, "I have revealed you to those whom you have given me in this world." In other words, he said, "I've finished the work, and one of the things that I had to do was to reveal the Father to those whom the Lord has given him." And he said, "I have done that." That is something that we should think about as servants. Why are we here as God's servants? Why are we here? And what is it that God has given us to do? We are all here for a purpose. right? God has a calling on us. And there is something that he wants each and every one of us to do as his servant, just like Jesus was. He was our example, and we are his followers, and we are to do the same thing that he did. So we are to glorify the Father by doing the work that he has given us to do. So at the end of our day, we will be able to say, like Jesus himself, he says, I have completed the work you have given me. I have revealed you to those to whom you have given me in this world. He said, they were yours. You give them to me, and they have obeyed my word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I have given them the word you give me, and they accepted it. They knew for certain that I came from you and believed that you sent me. This is another important point right here. How many of us know for certain that Jesus came from the Father? How many of us are sure about that, that Jesus came from the Father? That Jesus was one with the Father. Before the world began, he existed. And so Jesus was not just another prophet, but he was actually and in fact Emmanuel, which means he was God with us. So he said the disciples knew this. They knew that he came from God. Maybe Pilate and the Sanhedrin council and those who put him to death did not realize this, but he is saying that the disciples have grasped this particular fact, and they knew that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. This is something that we all must do. We all must believe that Jesus Christ came from the Father. He put on flesh, but that does not mean that he was just man. It's a mystery that we cannot explain how he was fully God, and yet he was fully man. All right? The claims that he was making here was talking about his divinity, the fact that he was divine, the fact that he was God, and he was fully God. Being there from the beginning with the Father, being in the glory with the Father. And then the fact that he was going to die mean that he was also fully man. That's a mystery. Because God cannot die, but man can. So how God became man and, you know, went to the cross and died is one of those mysteries, one of those things that we will understand when we get over on the other side. Amen? But we must believe and we must accept the fact and know for certainty that Jesus Christ is God. He is the everlasting Father. Isn't that something? That's one of his names that Isaiah gave him. The mighty God, the everlasting Father. Right? He was with God the Father. He and the Father, he said they are one. Alright? That's another topic for another time that we have to discuss. But what we want to understand here is that the divinity of Jesus, the fact that he came and he died, does not mean that he was not God. All right? So that is what he was saying here. Okay. Now, as we go down, verse 9, it says, I pray for them. Talking about those who believe on him, those who are certain that he was God. Jesus says, I pray for them. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is God, if you believe that he was with the Father from the very beginning, if you believe that he is God the Son, Jesus is saying, I pray for you. That's what this lesson is telling us today. He says, I pray for them. And I pray not for the world, this particular prayer here in John chapter 17 was not for the world, but for those who believe in him. He says, I pray for them. And he said specifically that I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. And I just want us to get that point plain here, that in this particular prayer, Jesus was not praying for those who don't believe and those who would not accept him. All right? If you want to live a life apart from Christ, that's all right. You can go ahead and do that. But there will come a day when you would have to give an account for all that you have done. And you'll have to give an account as to why you did not accept Christ and believe on his name. That day is coming very soon. But for those who believe, Jesus prayed this prayer. This is what he says. He says, I pray for them, for those who believe. He says, because they are yours. Verse 10 says, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine. Isn't that something? He said, all that the Father has belong to him. And he says, all that he has belong to the Father. And then he says, and glory has come to me through them, through the disciples. Verse 11, he says, I will remain in this world no longer. Yeah, right? Here he's talking about his death now. All right, he switched from his divinity down to his humanity now, and he's saying that I will remain in this world no longer. But he says, they are still in the world. He was going to die, and then he was going to be resurrected, and then he was going to go to heaven. And he says, I remain in this world no longer, but they are still in the world. They are still in the world. He said, they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. So Jesus had that foremost on his mind. Isn't that something? The fact that he was going to leave them, he was going to go back to heaven, and they were still going to be here. What does a dying man pray for? His concern was not about himself. His concern was not about whether, you know, he was going to make it past the grave. He was confident in the resurrection. Even though as a man he couldn't see past it. But he had the faith in what God was going to do for him. And he believed that on the third day he was going to rise again. So his concern was not about the resurrection. And sometimes for us, that is going to be foremost, at least for me. Let me just speak for myself. For me, the resurrection, if I knew that I'm going to die, that would be one of the things that would be foremost on my mind. I might forget about maybe I might think a little bit about my wife and think a little bit about my son and what is going to happen to them. Yes, I might get concerned about them. But one of the foremost things that I want is it well with my soul? Am I going to make it past the grave? On that grave getting up morning when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, will I be among that number? That would be probably foremost on my mind. But here, as Jesus prayed, that was not foremost on his mind. His concern was those that he was going to leave behind. His concern was his disciples. And so he was praying for them. And by the way, it wasn't only for them, but that was for each and every one of us that believe on his name. For all those who believe on his name, and for all those who believe the words of the disciples. All right? This prayer was for all of us. This prayer was for all of us. And so he says, I will remain no longer in the world, verse 11, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. And he says, protect them by the power of your name. Isn't that something? He says, protect them by the power of your name. You know, the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, he says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in, and they are safe. Amen? David, when he faced Goliath, when he had to go fight Goliath, David says, you come to me with a spear and a sword and a shield. He says, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And my question is, in what do we fight our battles today? Do we remember that the name of the Lord is a strong tower? And do we take confidence in his name? Here Jesus praying for his disciples, he asks the Father to protect them by the power of his name. He says, the name you give me, so that they may be one as we are one. So he prayed for protection by the power of his name, so that they may be one. Amen? So the second thing that Jesus is concerned with here, or another thing that he's concerned with here for the disciples, is not only that they would be protected by the power of his name, or the power of the name of God, but also that they may be one. Unity. Even as he and the Father is one. Now, the fact that Jesus prayed for this should tell us something. Am I right? This should tell us something. Otherwise, Jesus would not be praying, you know, that we would be protected by his name so that we can be one. And if we look at the body of Christ today, which is the church, we can see the division. Now, Jesus here is praying that the church would be one. But more than ever before, and I think as we get closer and closer to the end of time, we'll see that there will be more and more division among the church and among God's people. I mean, we just have to look in the world today, and we will see how many churches are in the world and still calling on the one Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We all say Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is our Master. But yet, there is so many segments and fragments and division and denominations, so many different things, all calling on the same Lord. But Jesus' prayer was that we be one. So the question is, how is this prayer going to be answered with all that's happening in the world today? And with all the division that we see everywhere, how is this going to be answered? How is it that the people of God, those disciples that he is praying for, how are they going to be one? Well, we know after Jesus died and went back to heaven on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came on the disciples, and it says that those disciples, it was about 120 of them, they were all in one place, and it says they were all in one accord. And then the Spirit came upon them. They were one, and then they were filled with the Spirit. All right? They were one, and then God was able to use them. And we know what happened on the day of Pentecost, right? Thousands and thousands was drawn to Christ. But as we move towards the end of Earth's history, as we look towards the second coming of Christ, how is this oneness going to be fulfilled? How are we going to be one? How is this prayer going to be answered? Or is it going to be answered? Jesus said in verse 12, he says, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you give me. None has been lost except the one doomed by destruction, so the scriptures would be fulfilled. Talking about Judas there. He says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is true. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. As we seek to answer the question, how is it that God is going to have one church and one people that would be united when there are so many different fragments and so many different denominations and all the rest of it? Is it that he's just going to have one church and then all the other churches are going to be lost? Or what is going to happen? Well, Jesus said, in verse 3 of this same chapter, he says, now this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. The way how God is going to help his people to be saved and this people to be one is those who belong to him are going to seek to know him and to make him the Lord and Savior of their lives. And the people who are going to see Christ and surrender fully and completely to Christ so that he can be their Lord and Savior are not going to be just from one church. He says, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. But he said, they too will hear, and they will come. So as the Spirit begins to work with us in these last days, he's going to draw us, and he's going to draw God's true followers to him from all the four corners of the earth, from all the different denominations. People are going to come together under the Spirit of God. And he says they're going to be one sheep, one fold, and one shepherd. Amen? They're going to come under one shepherd, and that shepherd would be Jesus Christ himself. So those who will seek to know Christ and who will seek to surrender to him are the ones that he's going to draw onto himself. I just want us to know for sure that being in any denomination will not save us. denomination could not save us, just as being a Jew could not save the Jews. Because we saw that all those who came out of Egypt, even though they were Jews or they were Israelites, let me put it Israelites because they weren't Jews when they came out of Egypt, but those Israelites who did not obey and follow God and did not believe, they died in the wilderness. They did not make it into the promised land, which was the earthly Canaan that they were journeying into. Okay? Although they were Israelites, they were the people of God. But because they did not accept Christ and did not surrender to him fully, but lived according to their own way and wanted to do their own thing, they perished in the desert, in the wilderness. And the same thing would happen to us if we don't surrender to Christ and allow him to work him in and through us. And we're going to look more at that next week. But I want us to know that our duty, from wherever we are, in whatever church we are, is to seek to know Christ. He says, this is life eternal, that they may know you, talking about the Father, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And my question is today is, how many of us are making that our purpose as a Christian, as a servant of God? How many of us are taking the time to get to truly know the one whom we call our Lord and Savior, and that is Jesus Christ? Do we know him, or do we just know about him? Can we say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior? Like how he was certain about who he was in his relationship to the Father. He said, I know I came from the Father. He said, I have brought glory to you on earth. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew for sure that he was connected to the Father. He said, I have revealed you. And he said, they know for certain that I came from you. Right? He said, not only am I sure in myself that I came from you, but those whom I have revealed you to, they also know for certain that I came from you. Right? So Jesus knew who he was, and he knew what his mission and his purpose was on earth. And his concern as he was leaving his disciples was that they too would be protected and that they too would come into a relationship with him. The same kind of relationship that he had with the Father. But the only way we can get to come into that relationship with him is to get to know him. We cannot form a relationship with someone who we do not know. Many a times we might think that we are living for Christ and that we belong to Christ, but we are not. Because if you just know about Christ and you don't know Christ, then you would not live for him. You would not do the things that he asked you to do. You would not be surrendered to him the way you should surrender because you don't know him. The reason why many of us don't live for Christ as we should is because we don't know Christ. The reason why we don't trust the Father when Christ says to do something is because we don't know him. We know about him, but how many of us can truly say that we know him? Yet here in this particular text, as Jesus prayed, Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. How many of us take the time to get to know him.
That is the only way that we can have unity here among us and then be united with him when he comes again. Because if we know God, then our lives are going to be different. Our character is going to be changed. And we are going to be able to live the kind of a life that would not only draw us closer to God, but as we get closer to God, we'll also get closer to each other. And that is how unity comes about. It can only happen if we take the time to get to know God. Our brothers and sisters, I'm going to close here, but we're going to continue this the next time, and we're going to talk more about what it is and what it means to get to know God. Because Jesus' concern was just that. His concern was that as he was leaving earth, was that we be one. We have the kind of a relationship that he has with the Father. Isn't that something? You know the oneness that Jesus and the Father has. They're so close that Jesus said while he was on earth, he said, if you see me, you see the Father. The reason why people were still asking, you know, Jesus to show me the Father was because they never took the time to see Jesus. They never took the time to get to know him. So because they didn't know him, they couldn't see the Father. But he was telling them that if you get to know me, if you can see me, that's what he said, right? If you see me, you will see the Father. So on this point, we're going to stop. What does a dying man pray for? What does a dying man pray for? We heard what Jesus prayed for in this text, John chapter 17. And you can go over it and you can read it for yourself as you go through the rest of the week, because I'm going to stop here just so that we can have my co-host, Jackie, give some comments on this. And I just want you to think about it, and I just want also anyone else who would like to share, you know, a thought on this. I know it's a lot, and I know it's something that you will think about and meditate and all the rest of it. But just pray as you read this chapter and as you think about what Jesus prayed for before he went to the cross, and as you think about the significance of his words, you know, that they may be one. He says, even as we are one, you know, talking about himself and the Father. Jesus wanted that oneness to be between us, his servants, his disciples here on earth, and the people in heaven. That's a struggle for all of us. All of us are working to get there. I know, you know, even as myself and Jackie and some of the others that we work with are very close and we are friends, but sometimes we are not where we should be and where we ought to be as God's disciples. Amen? But I'm thankful that there is still hope. Amen? As long as there's life, there's hope. And that is why Jesus prayed. I'm thankful that he prayed for us. And so that we have hope, not like the world. The world is on their own. Jesus said this prayer was not for them unless they want to surrender and come into the fold. But for those of us who have accepted him and who have made him the Lord of our lives, he prayed this prayer. And we have to do our part by just surrendering so that his spirit can work into us and mold our character and make us what we are to be. Listen, the plan of salvation, if we should put it in one word, is all about restoration. That is it. That is what the plan of salvation is all about, restoration, so that we can become what God intended us to be from the very beginning. We can be restored to that position that we had when God created the earth. Physically, we might not be fully restored to our original state, but at least in character, morally, we can start that restoration process even today, amen? And that's what it is. And it starts with us as God's people making that full and complete surrender to Him. You know, we have a few minutes, and I want Jackie to make a comment on this before we go. And I wanted to play a song as well. So, Jackie, quickly, just your thoughts on this. Okay, I think she has dropped from the call. But if there's anyone else who would like to make a quick comment, you can do so as we get ready to do our closing song and then our closing prayer. All right. I'm going to play this song.
Child, I'm going to walk.
Child, I'm going to walk.
White way. Oh, child, one of these days. One of these days. I'm going to walk. Walk that milky white way. Child, one of these days. Well, well, well.
Pray. Jackie, I'm going to let you have the last word. I see you're back. Welcome back. And close us out in prayer. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, I'm very sorry. I had lost connection earlier.
Okay, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, it's so important that we could remember when Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan desired to have you, to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that you might not lack faith. But when
Amen.
You are saved, remember to strengthen your brethren, you know, so that's our focus that we should be reminded of, to strengthen each other and to pray for the lost, you know, because we are here, someone has prayed for us and continue praying for us. So,
yes.
Father God, this evening, we are so thankful for another privilege that we have, Lord, to come to study your word, Lord. What an awesome word we have today from you. You send your messenger. We want to thank you for as we go through this dress-up period, preparing for a better life after this life. Lord God, it's not easy because when we look around, the things we see, Lord, but we are trusting in you to know that you are praying for us right now as we are here in this Bible study. You are interceding for us, Lord, before the
Amen.
Father. So we want to thank you, Lord, and we want to ask you to continue blessing us, have mercy upon us, encourage us to stay focused, to stay steadfast and unmovable, Lord, so that we will able to live that life after this life. Lord God, again, we thank you, Lord, and as we leave from here, but not from your presence, help us, Lord, to seek to have a relationship with you so you can reveal the things that you need to for us to know, Lord. Because the one that we do not understand, Lord, one day we will understand them by and by. Thank you, Lord,
Amen.
For each person here. Specific way, we want to ask a special blessing upon Pastor Donald and his family. Lord, be with them. Open windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on them today. And I ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And with that, I just want to say, quickly, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Jackie, for that prayer. God bless you and bless your family as well and bless all those of our listeners. And I want to encourage you to join us again next Friday at the same time, 6 p.m., and we go up until 7. We will receive another good word from the Lord. God
Amen.
Bless you, and look
God
forward
bless.
To seeing you again then. Bye
God
for
bless.
Now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.